Morning. Today's scripture reading is Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinthians that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all.
I want to bring you greetings from the Newark and the Athens churches this morning, and it's good to be back home. And it was such a blessing to go visiting some of our sister churches, but it's always nice to come home to church family. So I've been anxious about seeing each one of your faces this morning because I've missed you. I don't know if you've missed me, but I've missed you. It's such a warm, wonderful feeling here in the sanctuary to be together. So I'm going to tell you, or ask you, let's get up and let's greet one another. Let's do that this morning. I think we're running a little bit on schedule this morning, so a little extra time is okay. The sermon this morning I've been working on all week, and I've had difficulties with it. I feel like the evil one is trying to keep me from presenting this sermon this morning, so I ask for your prayers as I bring this message to you. The scripture reading again was from Acts 19, 1 through 19 and 7. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. And this might be some of the reason why I've been having some problems with this sermon, because the Lord has shared some information with me that I want to give to you. And so I hope that this reaches your ears and your hearts. As the Lord says, open up your hearts, your minds, and your ears. Am I coming across okay? Can you hear me out there all right? Pastor Sargent was a pastor in Chicago. A 10-year-old boy in her congregation named Cameron walked into her office and said he needed to talk to her. Fresh from soccer practice and wearing his Cincinnati Reds baseball cap, he had a request for her. "I would like to be baptized," he said. "We were learning about Jesus and baptism in Sabbath school. And the teacher asked the class who was baptized. And all the other kids raised their hands. And I want to be baptized too," he told her. Using her best pastoral tone of voice, she said, "Cameron, do you really want to be baptized just because everyone else has?" His freckles kind of winked up at her. And he replied, "No, I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God. I belong to God by being baptized." She was touched by that understanding. "Well then," she said, "how about next Sabbath, Cameron?" His smile turned to concern at this moment. "Do I have to be baptized in front of all those people in the church? Can't I just have a friend baptize me in the river?" She asked, "Where did you come up with that idea?" "Well, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in a river, wasn't he?" Caught off guard, she conceded, "You have a point. You have a point. But if a friend baptized you in the river, How would the church recognize it, Cameron? Realizing that this was a teachable moment, she climbed up on her footstool and was reaching for her Bible that was located on the highest shelf. But before she placed her hand on the book, he responded, "By my new way of life." That's how the church will recognize me, by my new way of life. She nearly fell off her footstool and left the Bible on the shelf. Cameron's understanding was far from childish. It was profound. Church family, baptism calls us to a new way of life, a new way of living. In our passage from Acts today, Paul was on his third missionary journey. He had promised the Ephesians that he would return. He would return if it was God's will. He had left Aquila and Priscilla there to build the church while he was away. And the scriptures tell us while Apollos was at Corinth in verse 1, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the Roman Empire. The population was around 250,000 people. It was no surprise at this point that they had not met Aquila and Priscilla or any of the members of the church in Ephesus. In fact, upon arrival, Paul finds 12 brethren who had been the disciples of John and Apollos. Paul may have come across this group while they were gathered for worship. And as he sought out the church, as he was looking for them, he found these 12 brethren worshiping together. And he was rewarded with finding these 12. But they were weak disciples. He saw instantly that there was something lacking in their lives and witnessing. He was convinced that there was a reason why they exercised no greater power. He was a very penetrating observer, and he was looking for the cause that produced this effect. As he looked at them, he saw that their poverty of their Christian experience, and the lack of spontaneous activity and the powerlessness of their testimony could not be hidden. Paul understood that the preaching of the word will be of no avail without the continual presence and aid of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yes, without the preserving continual presence of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the word would be of no avail. Without hesitation, Paul went directly to the point and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. No, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. We have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." From the letters that Paul had wrote to the churches, we know that the Apostle Paul recognized that if you were a believer in Jesus, then you have passed from death to life. Then the Holy Spirit resides in you. When we believed, each one of us, unto salvation, we were marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And that seal or that symbol is of God's ownership of his people. Remember what Cameron said? Remember what he said? "I want to belong to Jesus. I want to belong to Jesus." A Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? A Christian's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus takes up his abode in us by abiding in us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us and filling us. Can you say amen to that? On this day, as Paul was talking to these disciples, he was not asking concerning the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, but of the gift supreme. The gift supreme is the Holy Spirit himself. He was remembering and looking back when the crowd at Pentecost asked the disciples, "What should they do to be saved?" And Peter had proclaimed, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2, verses 38 and 39. This is a promise from God. God doesn't break his promises. This is a promise from God. Those 12 disciples, when asked by Paul if they had received the Holy Ghost, they answered, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And Paul said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Unto John's baptism is how they were baptized. Paul then realized, church family, he needed to share the Great Commission with these disciples. Ellen White tells us that so he went on to tell them, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. John told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. That's what Paul had told the people to believe in. To believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. Paul went on to explain that John the baptizer's message was to point people to Jesus. Then the apostle sent before them the great truths that each one of us know. The great truths that are the foundation of the Christian's hope. He told them of Christ's life on the earth, of his cruel death of shame. He told them how the Lord of life had broken the barriers of the tomb and risen triumphant over death. Amen? Amen. He repeated the Savior's commission to his disciples. All power, can you repeat it with me? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and who else? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He told them also of Christ's promise to send the Comforter. To send the Comforter. Christ asked his Father to send the Comforter. That's how important it was to have the Holy Spirit. Christ requested it before he went to heaven. That's how important it is to have the Holy Spirit. He told them also of Christ's promise to send the Comforter, through whose power mighty signs and wonders would be wrought through the Holy Spirit. And he described how gloriously this promise had been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Those disciples looked at him and said, with deep interest and grateful, they were grateful for this. With joy, these brethren listened to Paul's words. By faith, they grasped, just like each one of us did, the wonderful truth of Christ's atoning sacrifice and received him as their Redeemer that day, as Paul gave them the Great Commission. They were baptized then in the name of Jesus, and as he laid his hands upon them, they received also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by which they were enabled to speak the languages. Remember, in the upper room, when they went out, Pentecost, the little flames of fire in their head, they were able to speak the languages of other nations and to prophesy. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When these disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by which they were enabled to speak the languages of other nations and to prophesy, that day they received, did you hear me? That day they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also the infilling of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, church family, this promise is also for each one of us and our children, to everyone that believes in the Lord and is baptized. They will also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not only for this generation, but all other generations, accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the infilling. It's the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, where they can receive Jesus and the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen. I'm sorry, this is important to me, and I want to share this with you. The filling of the Holy Spirit is our greatest individual and collective need today. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many today have received the baptism of repentance, but no further. They've received the baptism of repentance, but no further. They're honest, they're sincere, and obedient to the extent of their knowledge, but they're ignorant of the fuller, brighter, larger life of walking in the Spirit. They're missing it. They're missing it. They've received the baptism and accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they need, as each one of us do, we need to commit and surrender our will, emptying ourself of ourself to Jesus, emptying out this self that we carry inside, and allow the Holy Spirit to come into the temple. We need to commit and surrender our will, emptying of self, to Jesus, thus allowing the Holy Spirit to come into the temple. This is the surrendering each day, the surrendering of the soul to be guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We can't use the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? We can't use the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is to use us. Through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to each believer, will receive the presence of Christ, the likeness of Christ, and the power of Christ. The presence of Christ, the likeness of Christ, and the power of Christ. Jesus shared these words with us in the Gospel of John concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, because Jesus wanted us to have the Holy Spirit, will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what this means together. There are three things that the fullness of the Holy Spirit brings. Three things, three important things. Through the presence of Jesus in us, Jesus comes and lives in us through the Holy Spirit. He takes us, takes up his abode in us. He's an abiding presence in us for strength, for confidence, for faith. Isn't that amazing? Jesus living on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit strengthens us with his presence. Doesn't he say he will never leave us nor forsake us? That's because he's with us all the time through the Holy Spirit living inside of us for strength and confidence. We will have the likeness of Christ, the characteristics of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. We will receive this. Fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. What a wonderful world this would be if we all had all of these wonderful fruits and the characteristic of Jesus. The third thing is the power of Jesus, the all-conquering Pentecostal energy, power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Power belongs to God, but he gives it to the church body in Christ through the Holy Spirit. He does that through Jesus. He gives us that power. He doesn't give it for personal use. He doesn't give it to us for personal use. But when he fills the church body, he exercises his power through them. Each one of you can have the power of Christ in this world as we go out to proclaim the gospel message. The Holy Spirit will work through us, using us to proclaim the message and win souls and change our lives through the power of Christ. Okay, what are the requirements for the infilling of the Spirit after rebirth? What are the requirements, you say, to have this? The first one is living in harmony with God and man. Living in harmony with God and man. The 10 principles of love that he has given us. What are those 10 principles? What are the 10 principles of love that he's given us? 10 commandments. With those 10 commandments, we can live in harmony with God and man, can't we? The second one is obedience, depending upon him, obeying him, trusting him, allowing him to take care of us, doing what he has required of us, not because we have to, but because we love him. We love him. And the third one is faith. Faith is a gift from God. Without faith, there is no works. And the fourth one I'm going to put to the list, and I think you all probably should too, in requirements for the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, is prayer. Spending time in prayer. When Jesus was here on the earth, what was he doing 24/7? He was in prayer to the Father the first thing in the morning and all through the day, keeping hold of his Heavenly Father's hand. And we need prayer for more of the Holy Spirit, not only in our church, but in the world church, so that we can go home, so that we can get ready to meet the Savior. I believe the Holy Spirit is extremely necessary for the body of Christ to complete the Great Commission and be able to be ready for when Jesus returns. We need more of the Holy Spirit to get the work done. We need more of the Holy Spirit to give us the presence of Jesus, the likeness of Jesus, and the power of Jesus to get the work done and to be ready in our own hearts and minds when he comes to receive us. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians if they were in Christ, they were a new creation. The old will be gone. The new will have come. Is that how you would describe yourself today? The old is gone and the new has come? Or is there little difference between the old you and the current Holy Spirit-filled you? Is there a difference? How can we be sure that we are a new creation? How can we be sure that a new creation has transpired? Have you ever asked yourself that sometimes? How can you be sure? Well, you will know, church family, because the Spirit of God will produce in you His own life. Jesus living inside of you will produce on the outside the reflection of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? To reflect Jesus from the inside out, that's when you will know that the new creation has transpired. In Ephesians 4:23 through 24, it says to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Have the mind of Christ. Have the actions of Christ. Have the characteristics of Christ. How beautiful that would be to put on the new self. To put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 5:1 through 2 and 8 through 9. We are to follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, are we not the children of God? Are we not His children? And with the Holy Spirit, He has placed that symbol, that mark upon us, marking us as His children even more. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, and we will become a fragrant offering to God. A fragrant fragrance going up to the Lord as an offering to Him and a sacrifice to God. Do you know you're a fragrance to the Lord when you're walking in the Spirit? You have a fragrance about you. It's beautiful as it flows out. If the Spirit of God is at home in you, the first evidence, the very first evidence will be the love of God flowing through you. Flowing through you will become channels. It'll flow through us into others. Flowing through us into others. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He will become first. You will be in love with Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. There's the harmony between God and man. The harmony. That's what God told the Israelites. This is what they were to teach their children. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. If you love me, you will... What? I didn't hear that. Yes, let's say that together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And love your neighbor. Love your family. Love the person on the street. Share the love of Jesus with each other and with those we come in contact. Another evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit is joy. It's joy. You're going to be filled with joy. Joy that is not happiness. Happiness is based on things being as you like them, things as they are in the moment. Joy in the Spirit is uplifting. It's a wonderful joy. God's joy is deep and abiding, isn't it? What's that verse that sometimes we might say? The joy of the Lord is in our strength, isn't it? The joy of the Lord is in our strength. The Spirit-filled person, the Spirit-filled church family will know a peace. Do you know what it is to have peace in Jesus? Have you ever experienced peace in Jesus? There's nothing that this world can compare with. The peace, the tranquility of Jesus. The Spirit-filled person will know a peace that's unexplainable. You can't explain this to people. The peace the Lord brings into your life. A peace that passes understanding. Passes all understanding. Now, I'm not saying that a believer must express all the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit perfectly all the time. I'm not saying that. You know, there's no way that can happen. We are far from perfect, aren't we? Who is perfect? Yes, Jesus alone is perfect. But remember what Paul said in Philippians 3:12? He said, not that I have already obtained all this. I haven't already obtained the fruits of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, the joy, the blessings. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. It doesn't make us perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We kept pressing towards the prize, running the race, as Paul did. Finishing the race is what we're striving for, isn't it? Striving to win the race, to receive the crown that Jesus will place on each one of our heads. Imagine that. What joy and peace. How glorious that will be. Church family, I'm asking you, allow, empty out self. Let the infilling of the Holy Spirit flow from your very being. Spend time in prayer with Jesus. Love His Word. Let it permeate your life. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit be manifested in your life. Most of all, let the Holy Spirit transform you and conform you into the image of Christ. And how will the world recognize that you've been changed? How will the world recognize that you've been changed through the power of the Holy Spirit and conforming you to the image of Christ? How will the world recognize that you've been changed? Well, young Cameron, that little boy, may have said it best, by my new way of life. That's how people will know that you've been transformed, by the image and have the power of Jesus, is by your new way of life. Amen? All right. You'll turn with me now to number 337. We're going to sing Redeemed.
Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child.
verse. Now may the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another throughout the rest of the week and into next Sabbath, Lord. Be with them, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, I ask. Amen.